I know over the last 20 years or so, I've had quite a bit of practice, but I still don't feel like I got all the answers. And I need things to encourage me. I need the Lord to help me. And without the Lord's help, we would all become despondent. We'd all begin to feel like there was no use, no hope, that we would give up, cave in, all of those kind of things, especially on a day that might be overcast, maybe drizzling rain, you know, about 24 hours of drizzling rain, and we're all ready for a break until it's been 100 degrees for 2 weeks, and then we're ready for some drizzling rain. But, you know, when we have negative things happen to us, disappointment, rejection, accusation, all those kind of things, we need some encouragement. So today, I feel like the Lord has inspired us with something that I trust will be encouraging. I want to write something on the board here. And, you know, I noticed in our Sunday school lesson that talks about Jesus using parables, saying the kingdom of heaven is like a king that had a servant that owed him money, or, you know, whatever the parable is, Jesus used stories. I wonder sometimes if the parables that he used were things that people already knew, that maybe they had heard quoted at a different occasion, maybe had been around for a while. And I want to use a story today with the help of the Lord, that according to Wikipedia, if you trust them, has been around for about 25 centuries. And in various forms, in various languages, they say it's been around a long, long time. So it's an old story. And I'd like to write the title up here. On the board, I've written Henny Penny. Anybody ever heard that? And you might also know it as Chicken Little. You ever heard that story? It's called a folk tale. It's something that's been told over and over again. And it's been long enough that I had to refresh my memory a little bit. And we've probably all heard a variation that's a little bit different than the other. But the story is, or the tale, the folk tale, I'm not trying to say it's in the same caliber as a parable that Jesus taught, okay? I'm trying to tell you that it's a story that all of us has been exposed to, and it's something I believe we can really learn something from. Not because I think it's scripture or anything like that, but the story of Henny Penny, or Chicken Little, is that a chicken, maybe a little chicken, maybe an immature chicken, was going about its chicken business, and an acorn fell and hit him on the head, or hit him somewheres, and they immediately began to proclaim that the sky was falling. That's the story. And because they hollered loud enough and long enough, they got the whole Everybody they contacted, they got them in an uproar. And they got them in an uproar to the point that they were running, we might say, helter-skelter all around, and so distressed and out of sorts that a fox was able to tell them, just follow me, and I'll keep you safe from the sky that's fallen. And he took them down in his den, and you know what foxes do with chickens and other fowl, whether it's a goose or a turkey or whatever it is, you know what a fox would do. The fox ate real well that day, and he capitalized on the hysteria that was caused by Henny Penny or Chicken Little proclaiming that the sky was falling. And all of us have different personalities and different propensities, and I know that some of us are more inclined to be a Henny Penny than others. We just are. Sometimes we might say, well, women are more like Chicken Little. Well, that may be, but I want to tell you, I've seen some men that could get pretty hysterical over some pretty small acorns in the past. We can all have things that happen that bump us on the head or hit us somewheres, and others might look on and say, it's not the end of the world. The sky is not falling. And their response would be, you don't understand. No, I don't understand. Maybe you don't understand. But I just like to look at this story a little bit. And I have a couple scriptures that I'd like for us to dig into a little bit today. I'd just like for us all to realize that we have all overreacted to circumstances, events, and things that have been said. Every one of us have. It doesn't matter if you're a classic Henny Penny or if you're a stoic, nothing bothers me type person. We have all overreacted to something in our life. I remember one time, it's been a number of years ago, I was working at a Chevy dealer, and this is going to, I kind of expose some of me, maybe a little bit, but my age bracket. You know, we take education pretty serious. I mean, I was very happy to learn to read, and I learned to read early in my life, and I've enjoyed reading. And, you know, I think that recognizing letters and being able to read basic words, we all ought to be comfortable with. I want us to be comfortable with. And, you know, there has been a shift. The more they stress that we need education, there's been a shift in our society in the last, I'm going to say, 40 years to dumb down how they communicate to us. And here's my illustration. How many of us today are comfortable with a fuel gauge on our car saying fuel up here at the top? Is that confusing to you? And then having a little hand that points up here and this saying E and this saying F over here. Anybody confused about what that means? So why do we have to have a gauge on our dash that's got the picture of a gas pump that nobody makes anymore and something up here that's all colored in, and this one is empty, and this one is half full, and a bar graph that has a line that floats up and down between that. Which one of them takes more imagination to be able to read? Well, that's my point. As I was saying, I worked at a Chevy store in 1987, I believe it was. they changed the dash on an S10 pickup. And it went from having a gauge that said fuel at the top and E and F. I'm pretty sure all of us here are sharp enough to know that E stands for empty and F stands to full. Instead, they changed to this little floating thing. It wasn't a needle anymore. It was this little thing that floated up and down, and it changed colors from like white to a blue color, I believe it was, but I'm not real sure. And it had at the bottom, it had a round circle that was empty, and at the top, it had a circle that was colored in. Well, we got one of these trucks to use for running errands and all of that. It's a new truck. I probably didn't have 100 miles on it. And so one of the fellas that worked there drove the truck somewhere, delivered a part or picked up a customer or something, and he come back and he says, we've got, just to give you a perspective here, the truck we had used up until this point was a 1969 model truck, and we replaced it with a 1987 model. So it came in the shop, and they said, there's something wrong with the fuel gauge. We got to fix it. And they were a little bit like Henny Penny. We got a problem. Fuel gauge don't work. Well, most everybody in the shop looked at it. Yeah, there's something wrong with it. I just filled it up. And it shows empty. Everybody agreed that it showed empty. And they started working on this truck, and they took the gas tank out of it and found out that it was full. And they took the sending unit out of the gas tank and plugged it back in, and they was lifting it up and float going down. They spent I don't know how much time determining it was working just like it was supposed to. They didn't know how to read it. It didn't say E and F, and they didn't know how to read the fuel gauge. And, you know, all during that process, there could have been many places that they could have pointed fingers at one another and said, well, you should have read the book. Well, you should have done better testing. Well, you should have paid attention before and after you fill gas up, put the gas in the tank. There should have been, there's just no call for taking a new truck apart. They had a lot of stuff apart. And they come to find out that it was working just like it was supposed to. Tempers could have flared. It wouldn't take a lot of imagination to think about that there was a possibility that somebody could have got fired over that. You shouldn't have never took that apart. What kind of negative comment there? You know, what kind of mechanic are you anyway? There could have been a lot of things that could have happened there that was negative. I'm thankful it didn't. They ended up laughing about it. But, you know, there's a lot of things that happen in life that we don't really know why it happens. And maybe we don't understand what's happening. And we have a lot of opportunity for it to create a negative outcome. A lot of opportunity. You can misunderstand something I say. I can misunderstand something you say. I could quote you and repeat it to somebody else the best I possibly can, but I might have said it wrong, and surely if I heard it wrong, I'm going to repeat it wrong. And we can create a scenario that causes chaos. And we had chaos that day. I'm telling you. We had a new truck took apart, and there was nothing wrong with it. I told you there was another high profile character in that story about Henny Penny, and he was the fox. And he capitalized on the hysteria that the acorn had fallen and hitting the chick. And the effect that it produced was that several became lunch and dinner for the fox and all of his little foxes. That was the end result. So I know that life has acorns in it. And acorns aren't all the same size. And I have a tree at my house that has large acorns. They're literally, if this cup was empty and one of them still had that kind of husk on it, there's times some of those acorns wouldn't go all the way to the bottom of this cup. They're big acorns. And I've saw acorns that were maybe the size of my little finger, little acorns. Different species of oak trees. And we have different things that happen to us. And we have a tendency to react to the acorn and overreact to the acorn. We all have a tendency to do that. And when that happens, you know, we can be driving down the road, and if somebody that's not driving says, "Look out!" and maybe they wave their arms, what do we immediately do? We probably jerk the steering wheel. It's like, well, what are you talking about? It's if somebody approaches a potentially dangerous system or situation and they make a loud noise or a gesture or something, or you know, if you see smoke, you know, the other day in our at the place of work, I looked down and coming out of the top of this truck, there was this white cloud of smoke. And so I hollered and I said to the fellow that was working on it, I said, is everything okay? Because it was a big enough cloud, I thought maybe I needed to run down there with a fire extinguisher. And he assured me that it was okay, and it was. But many times we respond in such a manner that it creates hysteria. Now, what happens if you holler at me and I'm driving and I jerk the steering wheel and I get off of the pavement and into the gravel and then we start to slide, and what just happened to your hysteria? It goes out the roof, doesn't it? And you immediately begin to prepare everybody for a crash by probably verbalizing something very loud about get your seat belts on or get down in the floorboard or Chicken Little, you see, running around. The sky's falling. I just got hit by an acorn. And right during all of that, what happens? Maybe you reach over and take a hold of the arm of the driver. And if they're not awake by now, they should be. And you taking a hold of the arm of the driver probably won't help the situation. It's probably only going to guarantee that you have a wreck. That's all it's going to do. So when we overreact to something, to our acorn, when we create hysteria, you know what the enemy does? He comes in and capitalizes on that and begins to try to distract us and take us to his den. He doesn't care how little or how big the acorn is. He wants us to become distracted, and he wants to take us off to the place where he can consume us and destroy us and cause us to not exist anymore as a Christian. He wants to destroy our testimony. He wants to destroy our experience. And he'll do it with hysteria if he can. Jesus referred to someone in Luke, the 13th chapter, in the 32nd verse. Jesus referred to someone as a fox. He said in Luke 13 and 32, maybe 31 beginning, "The same day there came certain of the Pharisees saying unto him, Get thee out and depart thence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, Go ye and tell that fox, Behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected." Jesus put a label on this man. He was a wicked person, and he called him a fox because he knew that this man quite possibly wanted to capitalize on any unrest to do the kingdom of heaven harm. Did you know the enemy is out to do the kingdom of heaven harm? And if he can cause your busted water pipe to cause you to be so, hopefully none of you got any plumbing problems, but if he can cause your busted water pipe to create enough hysteria to keep you from getting your soul fed, whether it's in family worship or in service, that's his objective. If he can keep you from getting the encouragement you need and keep you from getting gaining victory because the tire went flat or because the window pane got broken or because someone said something to you that you thought they said, I don't like you, and maybe that's what you interpreted, but that's really not what they said anyhow. Maybe it was a really, really small acorn, and it just fell at the wrong time. You know, if you stand under an oak tree long enough, acorns will hit you. It's, the odds are you're going to get hit by an acorn. You know, the odds are that something is going to hit you in life the longer you live. You can't stand behind this desk for an indefinite period of time without a misperception, without stumbling over your words, without making a mistake. You can't be a husband or a father. You can't be a mother or a wife for 50 years without there being some acorns in your relationship. It's going to happen. There's going to be some acorns. But what kind of hysteria do we allow the enemy to fan up in our life? Because you know what he wants to do. He wants to cause the hysteria to get to the point that a chicken would follow a fox into his den. You understand the concept? What chicken in their right mind would listen to what a fox said? None. What Christian would listen to the devil say, just follow me, I'll show you what you need to do, I'll take care of you, I'll protect you? Now, what Christian would do that in their right mind? Nobody. But you know, we will listen to his suggestions from time to time when acorns fall in our life. But we can't do that. We have to reject that. Listen to what Peter said, 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. Let's turn there. Common scripture here, I believe. 1 Peter chapter 5, and begin reading in verse 8. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That's the devil. He's walking around seeking whom he may devour. If the devil walked in the back of the chapel, I don't care how intimidating he might appear, there would be, it's a confrontation. And we would rise to that occasion, to some extent at least. If someone came in today and began to rail on us as Christians, that's face to face. But the enemy doesn't do that all the time. In fact, he does that seldom. What he does do is when the acorn falls and hits us on the head, we get distracted and discouraged, and we start listening to him tell us how you've been taken advantage of, and how you're a victim, and how that nobody likes you, and that no one appreciates you, and no one respects you, and what you contribute is not valuable, and then that it escalates to, I don't know why you put so much effort into something when nobody seems to appreciate what you're doing, and no one seems to recognize that your input is valuable. And these are the things that we start listening to the devil, and we start following him in the wrong path. He says the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may desire. The devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Now, some people feel that because Peter was writing to Gentile Christians, if that's the right way to convey that, that he was talking about telling them that your brethren that are of Jewish descent that live in Jerusalem, they have the same acorns fall on them. And you know, I'd like to say this morning that if you were raised or not, if you were raised without God in your life, if you was raised away from what we know as the saints, raised outside of church and all those kind of things, you can say, think, well, I just have all of these troubles. That's acorns. That's something that falls. I have all these troubles because that's hysteria. It's the Peter is saying, look, acorns fall on the other side of the fence too. Acorns fall in people's lives. You know, Anita and I have two licensed vehicles right now to drive, one for her and one for me. And you know, neither one of them are operational right now. You know, we got some acorns in our life too. You know, there's things that you can get discouraged with. It doesn't matter that I'm a mechanic by trade. My cars break too. You know, it doesn't matter if whatever your station in life is, whether or not you have past experience and been taught carefully from a child, or whether you was just raised up to be meaner than a snake. It doesn't matter. There's acorns that fall in everybody's life. And some of them are big. Some of them would... that tree I have, it's big enough, tall enough, and has big enough acorns. If I get hit by one, it hurts. It literally hurts. It's not like a little bitty seed falling on me. It feels like a rock hit me. And we have those. But I also want us to recognize, you know, people that curse and swear and have no respect for God at all, you know, their cars break down too. You know, they have plumbing problems. You know that they run out of money sometimes too. You know, they get sick. They have all of these things that happen to them. It happens to everybody. But what do we allow those acorns to cause in our life? Probably one of the biggest things that causes me trouble is when hysteria breaks out. When I don't see that there's any need for it. So one of the tricks the devil does is wants to cause a calamity, to cause, you know, sometime... the acorn is your wife hit a deer with a car. And sometimes it's that word cancer Sometimes it's something else in between there. But the key to success, I believe, is we don't allow the enemy of our soul to convince us the sky is falling. That's what happened to Chicken Little. The sky is falling. Something hit me, so that's evidence the sky is falling. When in reality, it was just an acorn. The sky didn't really fall. You know, the end of the world hasn't come because my wife's car made contact with a deer and knocked part of the front end off of it. I never want to minimize the reality of the judgment day, but life is not just gloom and doom. I'm telling you today, the sky is not falling. The sky is not falling. You have some acorns in your life? Probably. I do too. But the sky is not falling. Let's look at what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 29:5. Anytime I think everything's going wrong, I got to go and read what Jeremiah said over here. Chapter 29, in verse 5, well, maybe verse 4. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all them, all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. I haven't been carried off captive. That acorn hadn't fallen in my life yet. I've not been carried off captive. He said, build ye houses, and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto God for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. What did he say? Just because there's acorns all around you, it doesn't mean that you can't have happiness in life. That's what he said. I haven't been carried off captive. Yes, I feel like I live in a wicked and adulterous society all around me. It is reality. But I can't let that acorn cause me to accept that the sky is falling. I serve a God that's bigger than that. I serve a God that still allows me to have a brand new grandson that's healthy. I still have sons that wanted to be married, and they married young women that want to be married, and they enjoy being together, and it's a reason for life to go on. I could look around and say, I wish we had never had any children. My, there's so much wickedness in this old world. And man, there's so many acorns falling. I get hit 4 or 5 times a day. I don't know. I think I'll just keep them safe. I won't let my children get married because you never know what they might marry and bring in, cause all kinds of disruption and dysfunction in my life. I'll just teach them that you just stay home and work for Dad, and we'll take everything we can away from everybody else. And just, we'll build us a steel house and a concrete roof, and nobody can bother us. What is that? That's hysteria. You know, I don't have to do that very long until somebody else looks on. There's something wrong with that fella. That's what they would say. I won't let my wife out of my sight. You need to come with me to work, and I need to watch you all the time because somebody might take advantage of you, you see. People's going to want to lock me up before long. And my family might help them. But Jeremiah didn't say do that. He didn't say y'all dig in, build some bunkers, hold out the best you can. He didn't do that. He said plant some gardens, plant some trees, eat the fruit off of them, get you some grandchildren. Pray for the peace of the place you live in. You know, I'd like to see people around me get to know the Lord. I'd like to see them realize there's something better in life than cheating on your spouse and stealing from your neighbor and acting ugly in Walmart and all. I'd like for them to see that. I'd like to see people realize that they ought to cover up their bodies instead of trying to expose it to everybody else. I'd like to see that. I'd like to see people get a hold of something where they can lay down at night and be happy that they're still married to the same person they got married to 35 or 40 years ago. I'd like that. But they're not going to see any of that if I dig in and build myself a bunker and hide from all the acorns. Or try to. It'll still fall inside there if y'all didn't know that. You know, the Israelite nation was never restored to its full potential and glory. It never was. Even though Jeremiah said, build you houses, get you some grandchildren, and eat your garden, fruit out of your own garden, the Israelite nation was never restored to its full potential. You know, the Reformation glory may never be fully realized in this time world again. It might not. I'd like for it to. But I want to tell you, we need to prepare to live and be ready to die. But prepare to live. I don't see any reason for us to stop planting flowers or gardens or raising families. You know, if God really wanted us to start checking out of this old world, He could do some pretty simple stuff and make us all feel like we might as well just wind it down and quit. You know, the sky could be gray 365 days of the year. And He could cause us not to be able to have any children. That'd be the safest thing to do, wouldn't it? You get saved, no children. You know, there was some people one time that believed if you got really saved, you had to, you couldn't have any more children. Oh, y'all look at me kind of funny, but there was some people like that. They made men live in this dormitory and the women live in that dormitory. No more children. You know, God could cause us, very simply, you get saved, no children. He could do that. He could make the sky gray. He could cause us not to be able to taste our food or smell anything. He could cause us to never find a comfortable position. Can you imagine? Just wishing we could check out of this life all the time because I can't ever find a place that I'm at peace with my body. Sometimes I have to work at it right now, but I don't believe God's against me. You know, He could do something pretty simple and it'd be miserable here for us and we'd want to go home even more. There's a song someone wrote, Because He Lives. It says, how sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and the joy He gives. But greater still, that calm assurance we can face uncertain days because He lives. You know, I can face the acorns that fall. Sometimes they might hit me on the ear when I'm mowing, and sometimes they might hit me on the head, and sometimes they just hit my lawnmower when I'm mowing under this big tree. And sometimes the acorns of life seems to hit me like they're coming out of a machine gun. But there's really no reason for me to say, I'm done. I'm tired of living. You know, there's a lot of things that I look around that causes me to have hope. One of them's grandchildren. You know, there's a reciprocal for the Chicken Little syndrome. When I look outside and I see the changes of the season, I've had some beautiful fall weather. When I see the sunshine and I feel the warmth, when my grandchildren say, "I love you, Papa," when my grown sons put their arm around my shoulder, when I'm holding my wife's hand, and when those around me enjoy conversation and fellowship, there's a common denominator to that. And it's the antidote for the Chicken Little syndrome. There's a sense of well-being. A sense of well-being. And that's what we strive for. We want a sense of well-being. And until God chooses to remove those, I have a lot of hope, and I want to encourage you this morning to plant gardens. Relish raising your children and teaching them the right things, helping them to understand the way they ought to live life, teaching them how to take their responsible places in life, teaching them how to get connected to God. Taking time to enjoy the relationships that you have and reinforce them and strengthen them. There's a sense of well-being that comes from that. And it's the antidote for the sky falling, for all the acorns that want to fall and hit you and cause hysteria. You know, I want us to be encouraged today. No matter how many times something seems to be falling apart, I want us to not allow it to cause us to run. The devil, it says, he goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He is trying to cause hysteria and cause us to run in a place that would expose us to be vulnerable. And we have to recognize the sky's not falling. It's just a car with the bumper tore off and the fender bent. It's just a truck that won't run. It's just a stool that won't flush. It's just a roof that leaks. It's just words, you know. They told me when I was little, sticks and stones might break my bones, but words will never hurt me. You know, that's pretty hard to live up to. Because we find as we get older, maybe, or just have more acorns in our life, that words really do hurt. They really do injury to us. But, you know, if we could only live to that, and when somebody said, I used to hear guys that were trying to agitate one another on the job, and they were, I just have to tell you, I think they were doing it to be funny. But one of them would tell the other, and you're ugly and your mama dresses you funny. You know, if we just recognize it's just words, you know, mama still loves me. You know, I still have my family. I still, you know, it's so easy for us when somebody says something to us that's critical, that's harsh, that's deflating to our confidence and courage. It's so easy for us to run out. Has anybody ever run away from words with tears in your eyes? It's okay. My guess is we've all done that at some place in our life. Somebody has said something mean to us, and we run out of the house or run out of the room or whatever with tears running down our face. You know, the devil will take advantage of that. He'll start building hatred and envy and strife and all kinds of things that'll destroy us, but don't let it happen. There's too much to live for. It's just an acorn. It really, it's just an acorn. Even if it's a big one, it's just an acorn. The sky is not falling. I want you to take that home. The sky is not falling. You know, when the sky is falling, I want to try to wrap this up. When the sky is falling, you don't know who it's going to fall on or why it's falling. You just think the sky's falling. The judgment day is different than that. We know what's going to take place. And we know how to prepare for it. We know how to prepare and come through the judgment. Can I say it like this? With flying colors, by the grace of God. The psalmist said in Psalm 73, we need some more courage. Look at this fella. Psalm 73. He began to be discouraged because acorns were falling in his life. He says, truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, all these acorns were falling in my life, and I began to become hysterical. Well, that's not exactly what he said. He said, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And most of the chapter is talking about how he looked around and everything bad was happening to him and good things was happening to everybody else. All these acorns, you know, you can twist your ankle on acorns that don't even hit you on the head. Until he got down to the 17th verse, he says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. You know what the end is of you running out and slamming the door and saying, I don't like you either. That's hysteria. That's the sky's falling. The end result is the devil's got a little bigger toehold in your heart. He's got a place to build a little empire called hatred. And when your car won't run and the neighbor drives up in the driveway in the new one and it says, how's things going over here? Well, that's a good place for the enemy to say, well, the sky just fell on you, and you might as well just build a little empire called jealousy. And he'll destroy us if he can. But it's just an acorn, and the sky is not falling. We'll get through this. You know, I believe that God give us little children because he loves us and he wants us to have something to put our love on. I believe my truck will run again. And I believe my wife will get her vehicle back again. And everything will be better. until the next acorn falls. Remember, you might have acorns, but the sky is not fallen. You pray for me.